All right.
We live. I feel like forever ago we did this shit. Probably could have did a couple episodes by now. Anyway, welcome to the cut, fellas. How you feeling? How you doing?
We back.
I got a new camera. It's showing the bags and my eyes. I'm looking real 40 right now. This motherfucker. and I got the merch. I actually bought a t-shirt, one of my own fucking t-shirts. I had to pay $13 for my own shit, which is ridiculous. And then I paid $13 on my own shit, and guess what they gave me? $2. $2 of my own money back. I bought my own shirt. This is like...
Yeah, invest. It's an investment.
Gotta keep it up and running.
Yeah, gotta keep this shit up and running, man. Whatever. And I started a website, which I'm gonna start integrating the cut stuff into the website. So it's gonna be dope, man. We're gonna drive traffic, try to have a central location for all this stuff so that hopefully... we can make some money and start making some them dollars. Where them dollars at?
Oh yeah, facto.
Anyway, so back to what we were saying. When we was off camera. On our YouTube channel, which is actually kind of doing pretty well lately. We got about 265 subscribers, and you know that's trending upwards. We gained 40 in the last month, which is up 200% from previous. From previous months. Hey, we trending upwards. Once we get to 1,000, we can monetize and then start making money off our ads. And even then you can start integrating your store into your channel, which is dope. But anyway, that's not why I'm here. The point is that I mentioned off camera that one of our more popular episodes that I put on YouTube was Would You Marry a Porn Star? And the reason why it's the most popular episode is not because of an interesting topic, because the average watch time is only 17 seconds. I'm pretty sure when they see my ass, they're like, this is not what I thought it would be.
How do I click out of this?
Exactly. Yeah. I had my dick in my hand. I was expecting something else. But anyway, so
you gotta trick them. Add that little music in the beginning there.
So I know, right? Anyway, so I went and started looking through the algorithm and found out that the reason why this is one of the more popular episodes is because, one, porn is in the title and people search porn, but also like date a porn star. Would you, you know, how do I date a porn star? All these things are stuff that people search that our video comes up. I'm like, how wow.
Do we get that search?
I don't know.
We got to, you got to filter a picture in one of the corners of a woman and act like she there, and our time watch to go up because people just want to hear her say something.
Right.
Like she ain't going to say nothing. That's just a picture. But yeah, but you'd have been in here 5 minutes. Now it's too late. Might as well stay.
After 5 minutes, you can do whatever the hell you want to. You can go wherever you want.
Exactly. We can take the conversation wherever you want. Like, whoa, word. That's how y'all do?
We got to reshoot
the thumbnail bait and switch.
Yeah, every so often we refer to. Oh, is Karen back? She ain't back yet. Okay, she'll be back in a minute.
I got him with the thumbnail bait and switch too, because the thumbnail, it's not even like provocative, but I mean it's a picture of a two porn stars that
oh,
I think.
Okay. Yeah, they definitely click.
Oh man,
definitely click.
It's not from an episode. It's just from I think like a award show or something, because they dress in tuxedos and shit.
I'm pretty sure you didn't got reported at least 15 times. There is no porn stars in this goddamn video.
I'm very upset. This is not what I thought this was going to be at all. I'm highly upset that there are no actual porn stars were harmed in the making of this episode. I was going to show it, but anyway, I guess we segue in. So we talked about this once again while before we came into the lobby about racism in porn, and I think Wicker Thurman was mentioning that that's kind of the industry. Like the industry sucks all the way around, and you can't
literally
sucks. Oh,
I know. It blows to be in the industry. You know what I mean?
Oh, industry to be in. But yeah, in the
over, don't they?
I think it's in Rolling Stone. Stone actually published this mess. I actually published the article, and I was like, hey, this is kind of an interesting topic, mostly because I feel like there's a lot of complaining from a person who kind of pigeonholed themselves into one thing that they can do. And now when it, you know, like if you're in the music industry and you signed a bad deal in the music industry and you're like, yo, I ain't making no money. I got a TLC deal. I'm not eating. You kind of knew what you're getting yourselves into. And it's not like the industry was different. The industry's always been ass. It's just now social change is going on. People want something different from an industry that is designed to subjugate people. Like that's how it works. That's what you do for porn, right? That's what you want, right?
I just find it interesting that you do understand that like a lot of these market driven things, people want to try to find some way for equality. And I'm like, well, in something that's market driven like that, there will not be any equality for anybody who's trying to make any money. Because I don't know about y'all, but I don't know any black people that's like out here spending bukus of bucks on porn.
Right. Just right. And just being real. You mentioned that too.
Look for the free, but ain't nobody got no subscription.
Yeah.
Who are paying for porn in 2020?
Like the same people that's paying to watch these call girls on the internet play with themselves. It's somebody out there doing it.
Well, OnlyFans doing very well.
That's the difference, though, is that like OnlyFans or webcams, all that kind of stuff, that is strictly one-on-one interaction, and you are willing to pay for it because it's more personalized.
Right.
Mass market porn,
that shit sound mass market to me, too. Shit, most times it don't just be only you in the room, unless you paying the top dollar and she's talking directly to you, but you had to pay. You ain't getting that for a dollar a minute. you end up paying a dollar a minute. It's about 400 or 500 of y'all in there watching her together. Right.
Like I said, it's called OnlyFans, not OnlyFans.
Right. Hey. It ain't just you.
Thank you, boy. Thank you.
Right. You welcome. Hey. You drop that $500 off, she might send you a special video. I just wanted to say, hey, country boy, I appreciate the $500. Here's a booby.
I know, right? Here's a booby for you.
But I'm just saying, if that's the niche that you need to be in, if you want to start complaining about things, you can't just be in this thing that's like, yo, it's ran by like 50 white dudes. What the fuck do you expect?
And to that point, it's very similar to, once again, like the music industry, where it was ran by executives, and now it's gotten to a place where, you know, SoundCloud rappers, and where you can produce your own content. You can put your shit on Apple and sell. You can make an album tonight and be selling that bitch by this evening on Apple or Spotify. So, you know, the same thing seems to be happening with porn, where maybe it's time for you to be doing something else. Maybe, you know, maybe you need to be selling your ass to some company.
It's like always the people on the front edge, the pioneers that make all the money. You can't just come in on the tail end and think like, yo, I'm gonna get that same pioneer money. No, because at this point, all of the good money they've been taking, now you're just trying to scrape up the bad money.
You just kind of taking whatever they got out there. And like any other industry, once it becomes an established thing, it's time to break out on your own. Now, if you're doing it to you know, just get a couple contacts and maybe just see how the industry itself works, like, okay, I need a studio, I need this type of equipment, so on and so forth. Once you do that, it's time to bail out. I mean, just like with anything else. I mean, you know, not...
Just like with crack, we know, hey, you know, in the 80s, in the 90s, you could make a bunch of money, but if you still out here trying to sell crack in 2020...
Oh, what you doing? What are you doing? Why are you still standing out here?
Exactly. Right. Honestly, have you noticed that like them hood niggas seem poor? Like I remember when I was a kid, the dope they were rich. They had cars, and it was like Vino in New Jack City with all kinds of shit. But now, like, what you got
Jordan's on?
No, Freakonomics did a good, Freakonomics. They wrote about this stuff, and they basically compared the local corner boy to basically a McDonald's worker. That's the equivalent to what he does.
Pretty much.
Because he just ain't clocking in. Yeah, he's just clocking in, he's selling, and he's getting a certain percentage, but his percentage is so little, it's not worth the time. That's why he still lives at home with his mama. And yeah, he might have bought a nice car, but he ain't got nothing else.
Wow.
It's not until you get to the distribution level where you are moving large quantities of weight to where you actually make the money. Same thing with
porn. You ain't on no street corner. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You ain't on no street corner buying no house. Like, hey, look, I got a Wendy. You know, like you have a business. You have an LLC at that point. You know?
Right. And it's the same thing with porn. If you the chick that just come in and doing the scene, you ain't making no real money unless you got some real notoriety or whatever.
Get your couple hundred dollars and move on. Your face, but keep moving.
It's the ladies who got the distribution channels, the OnlyFans, that own the actual production companies, and they're the ones making the money. If you coming in doing a scene, again, you on a bottom level. Take what you can get and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's too many pretty faces. It's too many pretty faces doing porn. You just another pretty face.
Even if you have a name for yourself, like the best thing that you could do with porn is be like, oh, I know who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've watched enough Pornhub that I recognize your face and I recognize your name. So now I have something that's marketable that I can take somewhere else to OnlyFans and say, hey, now so-and-so got a fucking OnlyFans. You know what I'm saying? And Bella Thorne did this to OnlyFans. I don't know if we talked about this on here, but Bella Thorne is an actress. You ain't got to know who she is. She ain't nobody. When I say she DC lists for on white people shit, don't matter. Just know she an actress. She started OnlyFans, and she propositioned people with the idea that you shout out to my OnlyFans, you would get some exclusive nudity. So what actually happened is she was selling like, God, I cannot remember. It was like $100. It was like $100 a pop.
I think I remember hearing about it.
It was high as shit. It was, her OnlyFans was really, really high. So anyway, in a day, she cleared like $1 million. She cleared so much money. She broke OnlyFans. Like, they couldn't even pay her because of all the people who, when they got into her OnlyFans, realized that these are the same clips that she was posting to her social media. So they kept asking for refunds, and the fact that they owed her and this, you know, $250,000 in refunds broke them. It's like, we couldn't change the system because of this. And now she goes around telling people, like, she was the first one. I was the one who made OnlyFans famous. No, nigga, you broke it.
Yeah, you're the first, the first hustler of OnlyFans.
No,
you're the first one to run the scheme, you know, because, you know, you have people in there, you know, really getting it, you know, like, okay, boom, I'm paying this price for this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And I still never understood the kind of like the, okay, who are you to set at such a high price when an actual famous star is actually selling for less? So what are you planning on doing? But I think it's also the notoriety of, yeah, like, oh, this famous person
who's
not a adult
star is going to be naked.
Yeah. I always try to figure out when somebody gets your OnlyFans, why they just won't repost your pictures. Like, what's stopping them from one person buying your shit and just reposting your shit on the internet for free?
I have no idea. And I'm sure that's happened. But I feel like Bella Thorne's one of these people that if you wanted to see her naked, I feel like you don't have to look real far. Like, I feel like her pictures are already out there on the internet. It's like Cardi. Like, if you was like, Cardi has OnlyFans, but if you want to see Cardi naked, you can find it real easily for free. Like, there's no reason for you to pay money for it.
Hey, it's, you know what I mean? I don't think it's about seeing her naked. I think it's about seeing her naked. How new is the naked pictures? I guess best way to say it. Because, you know, motherfuckers don't like. I don't want to see your 3-year-old naked pictures. Let me see some today naked pictures. Let me see some.
Since you had the surgery.
Let me see some. I don't want to see naked from last week. I want to see naked today.
She Bella Thorne seems to think that she was the first. I looked at the article. She said the first celebrity. So she made the shit famous. So like after her, you know, Cardi and other famous people, I think Tyga got one. Have OnlyFans now. And honestly, I once again, I can't see myself paying for that. That don't seem like something I would want for somebody who I could easily find pictures of you for free out here in these streets. Like, I would be mad. I would be mad if I go to see your OnlyFans and I'm like, oh, that's what you look like? Okay, cool. That's it. I'm out. Can I get my money back? I'm not. Like, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. But there's no, what did they say? There's no 14-day trial. This is
no, man. Like, all you pay. Like, again, oh, man, I'm gonna see what you look like, but now I'm good. I've seen it, and I'm good.
like I said before, most of the people who are successful at that typically are posting new content that makes you want to come back.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
now, if you, again, trying to pull a Bella and you just trying to repost your old shit, nah, you ain't going to make no money. You, fuck you. But now, if you trying to sell me, oh, yo, you're going to get this exclusive video at every Wednesday at 6 p.m. and also I'm gonna be live chatting at this time. You selling some stuff? Yeah, you about to get paid.
So, and I don't read the article. Apparently, she had a subscription for $20 a month, but inside the subscription there was no nudity. So there was a picture that supposedly had nudity that was $200. I'll be honest with you. I am impressed. This was good stuff. She scammed shit out these niggas. She scammed shit out these niggas.
But the fact that she was like a D or C list, I would have been like, so? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, is this somebody I've heard of? Is this somebody that I have like an attachment to or something like that? Because I'm like, so?
Well, think about it. At $100, what? All I need is what, about 1,000 people to buy it? I just made some real money. I mean,
I mean, OnlyFans, of course, get they cut, but like vast majority goes to the celebrity. I would think though, back in the day, it's probably a couple of celebrities. You know, this thing has changed with the internet. Back in the day, man, I might have paid like $20 for like Halle Berry or something. Like, I just want to see it. Let me peek.
I mean,
let me peek. Ah, that's what you look like. Sure. All right, I'm good. Anyway, let's segue on to something else.
Yeah, talk about something else. We didn't spend enough time talking about.
Way more. And then actually didn't name none.
Oh, you want me to name some? I could get you fire.
Nah, we good.
Oh, well, okay. That's about
it. Like, I mean, you know, why just and for research purposes only, you know.
Yeah, just for research. That's like, it. That's just research.
As long as you, none of you niggas like quote like Heather Hunter or something. Nobody can find the time.
Like, hey. It's so many. You be like, yeah, oh yeah. I heard of her. Yeah. She came out with the new thing. Like, right.
Anyway, wow. So, Master P wants to buy Reebok, and we kind of, once again, we talked about the shit off camera. Apparently, the asking price, he put together some investors with Baron Davis, and because apparently, I think Reebok is worth $2.4 billion, which for that price, that nigga could have bought a whole franchise. He could buy an NBA team, a damn near football team for that price. I'm surprised. He's like, he said it's time for a black person to own a major shoe company. And wow, I applaud him for this. I'm like, Reebok, nigga, that's the one you wanted.
I mean, Nike ain't
Yeah, Nike ain't shit, you ain't getting Nike. So, Reebok ain't bad. Nah, we used to wear them.
We did used to wear them. And honestly, I feel like
here from New Orleans, them soldieries, them joints going to be, you know. But no, I mean, this is the key opportunity to bring in all leads. You know, matter of fact, I even copped, like, you have a lot of black shoemakers and black designers that you can then bring in and say, like, hey, y'all been talking all of this, you know, they won't give me a chance, or they be stealing from me, or black owned. This is a perfect opportunity to gather all of these black designers, say, hey, here is your signature shoe. You still do your own thing with your brand, but I want you to have a signature shoe with me, just like they do with Kanye, just like they do with Pharrell. Do the same thing with me, so we will then be the premier shoemaker. So to me, it's like the opportunity to do the right thing.
I mean, what Steph Curry added, well, Steph Curry basically built Under Armour's basketball division.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because before Steph Curry, Under Armour was known as what, football and soccer?
Yeah.
And like, yeah. They were really right. And so if Master P can find that star who was, you know, ready to get a shoe deal and is going to be popular for the next 3 to 5 years, it is possible he could turn, he could, you know, double or triple the price or the value of Reebok. But
I mean, listen, you guys, I can see the viability in this through,
because it comes with branding. All the stuff, right? When you buy Reebok, you get all their factories and all their old, you get all their old brands, so you still pumping out classics and all that.
I mean, they were owned by their parent company right now is Adidas. They were purchased by Adidas. Apparently, Adidas wants to sell them. But I mean, like, you get the Answers, you got Sean Kemp's, you got the Shaq's. I mean, there are quite a few shoes off the top of my head that I remember that were super duper popular. But I think the real move is to building through Black celebrities like the, you know, the Travis Scott's of the world, the Kanye's of the world, Pharrell's of the world. I feel like if you brought them in house with Reebok, you could build something. I mean, because look what Kanye did for Adidas. Adidas before, and he pretty much doing his own thing. There are no Adidas branding on Yeezys, and yet that company is evaluated at $2 billion. It's almost worth as much as Reebok itself. So if you can find the right influencer, the right person to come in and build their own line, or several people to come in and build their own line, I feel like there's some move to that.
It's basically what I said was there is some meat on that bone.
Yeah.
However, the problem I have with it is that it's Master P, where he getting this money from? Because last time I checked,
I'm blessing. I'm messing. Don't listen to me.
I'm like, Master P ain't got no $2 billion nowhere in his name. And he got what, Baron Davis? Does Baron Davis even have a dollar to his name? Like,
I don't know what Baron Davis got, but I'm pretty sure
a major move like this made, you have other investors that back you, and you're just the spokesperson for the investors.
Yeah.
So it's never just like, okay, let me pull out $2 billion and just drop it on the desk. No,
yeah,
you have
but, like a few
behind you and so on and so forth.
Okay, but if that's the case, then again, it's just another Black figurehead behind a white company. And
well, I guess what he's hoping
we ain't doing no Black, doing nothing.
Probably mainly Black investors.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, also, you guys talk about the track record of Master P. And while Master P is a businessman, I don't know if he's equipped to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Realistically, though, out of the rap world, he's probably the only one outside of Jay-Z is equipped to do it.
What, Puff Daddy?
No, nah, I trust Master P more than I trust Puffy.
I don't, because Puffy got more money.
I wouldn't be shocked if Puffy ain't on the list to invest.
Because he was trying to buy the Panthers. So
if Puffy was here, you could bet somebody getting fucked over. That's pretty much how he make his money. Hey, cuz, I'm gonna tie you to this deal. I'm about to fuck you over now. I want you to know this now. Now get on out of here. Now I'm rich.
But I mean, how many times has somebody from, you know, like another, you know, how many times that happened to somebody else who owns a shoe? So it's like, hey, it comes with it. But I think it, like, to your point, I mean, I can see why, you know, Master P doesn't get the, you know, like, hey, them Magnatis, them shoes he did have was kind of atrocious. So I'm like, but once again, you coming in, you're not making the shoe. I am just the CEO of the company. So my job is to make sure we make money. So if this designer over here, whether it be Saya or Rock Deep or one of the whoever makes Black person makes shoes, hey bro, you keep doing your thing. We want to partner up with you. This is your signature shoe. We're gonna keep pumping out the classics. We're gonna keep pumping out the AIs, but this is an opportunity to actually have Black folks making the shoes that most times somebody we make popular for somebody else. Because LeBron tied to Nike forever. Not most Nike folks, we ain't even talking about this.
Here's the crazy part about that. There's weakness in that, because this is funny. Funny you guys talked about shoes and all that shit. Because before Kobe died, Kobe was in the last year of his deal with Nike, and he wasn't that happy with Nike and was looking at the opportunity of building his own shoe company. You know what I'm saying? He had taken, I saw an article on Twitter where Burton talked about the meeting they had with Kobe and designs they had pitched to him. This was like, he died in what, January? This was like December that they pitched it to him. So he never even got a chance to even get this thing off the ground. So if Kobe feels that way, I feel like it's got to be other artists who feel this way, or other athletes who feel this way. Maybe there are some dents in the armor. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? My question is, if I've seen Masterpiece's other work, I've seen his food, I've seen his albums, and they all seem a little kind of janky, and I'm kind of like, I don't really want you to treat Reebok like you do, like you did the cover of, you know, Mr. Servo album. Okay. Like, I need this to be done a different way. Like, you could be the in charge, but I kind of want you to, hey, like, hey, shoe people do shoe people shit, and I'm gonna just be in charge. You know what I'm saying? Hey,
if we look at it, you know, okay, when Jordan did his thing, that was the next iteration of the whole thing. Because, you know, people before Jordan had shoe deals. However, not very many of them turned their shoe deal into the what is basically the second largest shoe brand behind Nike.
Right.
So, you know, if somebody, let's say like LeBron or the next LeBron or whatever was coming up, that to me is the next iteration of it, is to not only have built a brand, but to build a brand, own it, and it be yours.
Right.
So if Master right. P can find a way to kind of marry that, he could have something here. But again, going back to what you said, looking at some of the other stuff Master P has done,
yeah,
does he have the it factor to make that happen?
I mean, honestly, if I'm running this company, if I'm Master P, my plan would be to let shoe people do shoe people shit. That I am just going to be here to kind of get an overall overview, kind of be the last, the final say. But I want you to have the autonomy to do what you do. Like, I don't want to design shoes. That's not what I do. I am a businessman. You know what I'm saying? This is how you build a good team. You surround yourself with smart people who understand the game. And then you let them do work, and then they come to you and they're like, okay, this is my vision. And you're like, okay, yay or nay based off of that. But if you're going to be like, hey, nigga, I don't like the way the shoe is designed, I want you to put a stripe down the side of it. That ain't work.
I don't think P would do that. P done put too many people on and made too many people successful to where it seems like everything he touches is all his influence. I think he let people do their work, and he just put them in the proper place to thrive.
Wait,
right.
Who are these people?
I mean, the main one that everybody recognizes is Snoop. I mean, Masterpiece say Snoop career.
Yeah, Snoop has nothing but positive things to say about Master P during his career.
His son, all the people that came out of that No Limit camp.
Family, I don't count. Family don't count, because you're going to look out.
Like, what'd you say? He got the cereal brand. He got the cooking show. He got noodles. He got hats. How much he owned damn near half of New Orleans, don't he?
Yeah.
And also, but I mean, don't make it as like, I don't think it's the same thing, because with No Limit, that's his. No Limit music is mine. So I'm going to be a lot more directly influencing what, you know, what the album covers look like, what the, you know, what all the stuff that we, that was a miss in most of our eyes. But you got to think, with Reebok, it's Reebok. I'm not building anything here. Now, if I want to build something separate outside of, or try to, you know, create something like with Jordan, where I get a famous person to endorse their own brand of shoe and theirs takes off, that's separate. But it's not like Masterpiece is like, oh, okay, these are No Limit Reeboks. No, yeah, Reebok already exists. They are right. It's already a line of shoes that look cool, that do what they do. My job is to just make sure that someone else black, like, his job would only to be to set up the next Jordan or the next Kanye or the next Pharrell, to where, like, you said, Travis Scott. Exactly. You make your own shoe. And to me, but them Travis Scott's was ugly. I'm like, dude, they low top denim. I didn't like them personally. But them joints was a hit because of who Travis Scott was. So if he can simply find the person to slap on a Reebok, you out of here.
Jesus too. These are horrible. And yet.
I guess what you're saying is that is Master P going to be just a member of the management team or on the board of directors or the creative director or whatever? Or is this cat going to try to name himself CEO and try to run the whole company from top to bottom? I guess
I think, and I see a lot of people talk about this. You know, it's weird with black people. We like to celebrate when other black people do baller shit. Like, this improves our quality of life when it doesn't. Not just a shot at Master P at all. I'm just like, okay, Master P bought Reebok, or he wants to buy Reebok. That's great. But unless Master P is actually putting black people in a position to do well from him buying Reebok, I don't.
Yeah,
like,
for instance, you got to get him opportunity to get in there first.
Well, is because, like, is Master P... is he going to like just be like, okay, well, Reebok runs, right, so I don't need to do nothing but just sprinkle a little dust over here to get some more profit? Or is Master P going to be like, hey, look, I want a black CEO. I want a black vice president. I want directors. I want some black that.
That's the way he talk all the time about black folks owning our own, giving back to our people. That's why I will pick him over Puffy, because everything P tries to do, he tries to incorporate black folks into it and pushing us forward. So that's why I would pick P.
You know how I know P a good dude, at least from a visual, because he put Silk the Shocker on, and he had to know Silk the Shocker was fucking terrible. He had to know he was terrible. And we still let him do albums and get on the mic and everything. And like,
man, that's that old hindsight is 2020. Everybody like, oh, Silk the Shocker was terrible. He sold albums.
For a minute, you like Silk the Shocker for a hot minute.
All of a sudden, you act like you did.
No,
like, at some point, here's the thing, somebody liked it and he made money off of it. So let's stop acting like you was
platinum. Charted to the game with fucking platinum. So while we all say how bad Silk the Shocker was,
I never said he was bad. That seemed to be like all these new people, like, man, Silk the Shocker, wait a minute, hold on, the man with platinum, stop it. You don't like him now. I feel like people don't feel the same way about like certain rappers now, like Blueface and some rappers. They're like,
what's her name? Young Miami from the City Girl.
Hey, listen. Mess up, you can get act. Like, y'all really gonna be singing that when y'all in y'all 50s? For real? It's okay. We all learned. We all were.
Even back in the day, I was like, yeah, nah, Silk, this ain't it. Like, this don't flow. And what really contrasted it is when he would be on tracks with real artists. When he was on the track with Mystical, you're like, okay, Mystical is ripping this shit. Silk the Shocker, what are you doing though? What is happening over here? What is happening over here? She going hard in paint, and Silk the Shocker's like, how can I fuck this track up?
I can be offbeat as fuck. That's how I can do it.
Beat? What's that? Hey, man, you want to hear this beat? Nah, nigga, I got this. Play the verse.
I'm just finna spit, bro. Just record. I'm finna spit. I'm record. Just hit record.
My verse. Oh, man. Real talk, though. Back in the day, we knew, at least I thought people knew Silk the Shocker was bad, but it didn't matter. Because the brand that he had built, the brand that all these niggas had behind him, No Limit was that shit. You didn't care. You didn't care about the album covers and none of that stuff because you knew it was gonna be fire. At least some of them. At least Miss. Hey,
I think when he started, when he started putting out like, dude, back when Friday, like albums used to drop on like a Friday, and he was like, why did 3 No Limit albums every Friday? I need you to space these joints out a little.
I think it was for me when like everybody started getting their own album. And I was like, yo, what's that? The chick that they had? What's her name?
Mix?
Mercedes?
Oh, man. It, it, take,
It was Mercedes. Me and X could rap. Mercedes could not.
But like, you would be like, why do they have their own album?
Because P said, this is how y'all gonna get some money. You put your own album out, you're gonna make whatever it make. And he was letting their ass pump them albums out.
Yeah. But and at the same time, as an artist, even if I'm little, I don't care if I'm a young Mr. Who Gives a Damn, guess what? little Who Gives a Damn, when your album drop, I need you on it. I'm gonna put it out in the stores. Everything you get from this album is yours. I didn't shelf nobody. I didn't keep putting out, you know, like Master P albums over, because you got to think how many artists never got an album from a label that they signed to. And then they're like, man, I'm stuck in this deal. My album never dropped. It was 10 years before they left me off the album. Now I'm trying to tell y'all like, yo, y'all remember me back when I had all the top verses?
Your shit been on the shelf for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Your shit on the shelf or your CEO is stealing your damn hot fire tracks. Like, yo, that
giving them somebody else.
Hey, that's for my album. That's dope. Mm-hmm.
So you may have had some heat back in, you know, like 2010, but now that you know, now that your album's been taken off, like every song on your album has been put on somebody else's, and you never get one.
Yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong. Some cats, you were like, I don't know, Pete, but each one of them got released. You got an album. Your album got released, and you had to promote it. You can't
sent
say
your ass, sent your ass on tour with a headliner and let you perform.
You at least got a chance, huh? That's what he's saying. You at least got a chance.
You got your shot, bro.
Hey, that you was on this label and you didn't get a shot, because we all know tons of labels where it's like, oh yeah, I saw this, my new artist, and you like never heard from that nigga again. With No Limit, and I watched documentary, they had like a farm system. They would just sit in a room like this and just crank out albums. And it was so like, let's say, you know, Mr. Servon or whatever, then we work on his album. Everybody in the lab helping you write your verse for your album, and then we're going to move on to something else. So we, you know what I'm saying, we cranking out beats, everybody in here working together. You putting in a work day. You putting in 8-10 hours. You know, only to go home and do this shit again, and then have to go on tour. They was like a job. They was working hard, cranking out albums. I have nothing but mad respect for them and that work ethic they were putting out. You know,
that was his whole thing. He like get in the studio, crank it. You know what I'm saying? Just keep cranking out songs. If Mr. Servon get 20 songs today, that's because y'all wasn't working. So that means you come back tomorrow. We're gonna get your songs out the way. You gonna report, you gonna do, and this before mixtapes. So this was all your album, your verse on my album, and that's it.
Man, so, I miss mixtapes. I miss mixtapes with that shit. When mixtapes finally came in, and you could like all your beat tracks, you could get to like, you could put on a mixtape, or you could get to a DJ and he put that shit out on the streets, and people just get a taste of what your album was gonna be like, man. I mean, they still do that now, but like, it's so big. It's like guys just eat off mixtapes. Like, I just put a mixtape out. That's my album. You know what I'm saying? And I just go on tour based off of my beat tracks. You know, like Griselda is bit. You know, that's the guy I put you on to, Jay, with Benny the Butcher. Mm-hmm. Benny the Butcher is based off Griselda. Griselda work ethic is similar to like a No Limit, where they putting out albums. They put out like 5 or 6 this year alone, because they just like, and even the B tracks get an album, even the stuff I don't use, I'm putting it out. It's gonna get the streets no matter what, because they don't give a fuck. I mean the quality is top notch now, but if you keep putting out tracks like that, who's to say? Anyway, we're gonna move on, because who wants to talk about music?
I mean, we did. I know y'all was semi kind of mentioned that we should have somebody build, you know, just a black owned shoe company. But I think we had somebody do that, didn't it? And we ain't support them.
Who was that?
Starberry.
Oh, yo, I fuck with them. I used to bottle them shit.
Yo, I'm about to say, who you talking to? Like, hey, Starberry's was defy. Cass was making it sound like,
oh, I ain't seen that one y'all with them triple B's on.
Was not $15, okay? I get some Starberry and do $15. And beat him up and go buy some more and go hooping them shits. I'll go hoop.
Right.
Like, everybody was cool with, like, dude, listen, Stephen Berry's was the listen.
Yeah, the surreal.
Nobody say Stephen Berry's was the truth. Like, you can go in there, wasn't nothing just over like $25, $30, and that was like for a coat. And it had all back when people used to rock the race car jackets. Yeah. You can get you some Starberries, you can get you a sweaty sweatshirt.
They had that joint on Carter's, yeah. Right up to, from Family Dollar.
You yeah, what you know about that, boy?
Yeah.
Hey, I
still got a pair of Starberries in there, man. I used to fuck with them shits and hooping, but that's probably why I got CTE feet now. That's why my feet fucked up.
Hey, you combine them with like cheap shoes, boy. Yeah, looking back,
Starberries. Marbury would tell you that your shoe, that these are the same materials they make Jordans out of. But I just can't believe that. I can't. My feet fucked up.
Hey, listen. But here's the thing. When last time you saw somebody really hooping Jordans.
That's true.
No. If they're under the age of like 25, yes, all the time. The age of 25, no, they don't do it. The young cats will pay $200 for some Jordans and will be out there in the court.
Mm-hmm. I've seen guys who ball in their Space Jams or their Concords, and they're like, I just like the way they feel. I'm like, nah, they got performance shoes out here like Jordans. And you know, I'm what you do. Jordans ain't built for that. Like, Jordan won't even wear certain Jordans. Like, he tried to wear ones later in his career. It was like his feet were bleeding because they hurt so bad.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, really? One.
They weren't built for this shit.
Wait, was he wearing the original ones that he had, or did he have some of the remake ones?
He had a brand new pair of ones, and he tried to wear them in a basketball game, like an all-star game, like a throwback, and like later in his career. He was in his 30s. He was like, I can't wear them. Then my feet are bleeding. I'm dying over here. But the thing about shoes, like after about 13 or 14, the Jordans became about performance. So now if you buy like the 32s or 33s or 34s, these are basketball performance shoes. These are excellent basketball shoes because they are made for hooping in. So basically what I'm saying is they got shoes for hooping. You ain't got to wear no Jordans. No, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to wear no Concords. They have shoes that are designed for hooping. They made for this. Why are you doing this to your feet?
Yeah, because a certain material is made for performance.
Yeah.
Patent leather is not made for performance. Mm. I don't care what you're saying.
No.
Unless you are going in the lab and you are adding something to this patent leather shoe to make it perform, that's one thing. But if I'm mass producing them, I'm just mass producing them. I'm not worried about performance. I'm just putting these bitches out there to get that money.
And that's one of the problems you have with running shoes. You know, I use running, especially these days, far more. And with Nike running shoes, the ones that are, they mass produced and built to like for the everyman. Like if I put these shoes on, no matter what shoe you buy, them shoes gonna be built for everybody. They don't have no variation in the way you heel strike or the way your foot lands. I don't care nothing about that. This shoe is built for everybody's foot. Now you could get some other shoes like some Brooks, and they have different shoes that are built for like different type of feet, different strike, the way you strike. But Nike don't give a fuck. Hey, this is an everybody shoe.
Nike. I would say Brooks. Listen, I found a pair of Brooks for the low. I couldn't get to the register fast enough because they normally run like $80, $90. I don't care if they like a pair from 2 years ago. If somebody returned, they still $80. But when I tell you, look, that's what – now I see why my dad used to wear Asics and Brooks and shoes like that. I'm like, why do you wear those? But he was like, they're running shoes, meaning they're like for every – like if I need to walk, run –
yeah,
whatever I'm doing with my feet and I'm standing, I need to have these shoes on because they are built specifically for that. And I was like, you know, whatever. But now I'm like, hey, give me a pair of Brooks. It's a wrap.
Anyway, you gonna say something?
Oh no, just when you're young, you don't care about your feet. Your feet, nah, your back.
I'll tell you what.
Your legs. You don't care. You don't care about none of that.
Your feet after bounce you broke back your feet
twice. After you broke your both feet twice. You give a damn. I need to make sure.
Because I swear, when I was younger, like you said, I could put anything on my feet and play basketball. Man, I had the Iversons. Mm-hmm. I had Jordans. I could put on some $25 Nikes. Mm-hmm. I could just play anything. Today, hell no. I can't put on them entry-level Nikes. Hell no, I ain't playing in them. I ain't running in them. Mm-hmm. I won't even walk to the store in them. Bro,
damn, the running shoes that you get from a shoe warehouse. Good luck. Yeah. Good luck. Good luck. You think you're
no hands. It was the only thing. You're like, man, they cheap. I can rock these. Yeah, they cool. Yeah. Man, listen, I got to put them on. I got to take some steps with them. I got to do like all the stuff.
I've been buying all kinds of shoes and inserts lately, trying to find the right shoe for my foot so I can, because I do a whole lot of walking. So I
see, you understand. You understand. Back when I was working, oh man, I had one this job. I had to walk all over these different campuses and shit, and they didn't allow you to wear tennis shoes. I had to do this at Hard Bottoms. When I tell you, my feet was toe to hell up for walking miles in Hard Bottoms. I'm like, nigga, like I smoke coming off my feet. Like, why are we living like this? I eventually had to buy some of them Kohans with the sneaker soles. For I need to balance. Like, hey, you need to meet me halfway.
I had to have a talk with management. So look, here go my watch. I'm taking 15,000 steps a day. I'm about to wear regular shoes. I don't give a fuck what everybody else got on.
I can't do it. This is
what I got to do for my
feet. Or I'd have bought some of them sketches. You know, I'd have been. Yeah, some of them old man sketches, y'all would have been like, they probably would have been talking to me, but like, yo, man, you got them old man's, yeah, but they comfortable though, bro. Right.
Ain't no problem.
They let me wear sneakers. I'm wearing like the bulkiest dad shoes I can find. Like, this is what you brought me to. This is where I am right now. I'm going full dad life.
I'm talking about straight up monarchs, like, oh, monarchs.
Yeah. Monarchs. Those guys didn't got expensive. Those bastards.
I know. Well, man, you mention any shoe name, and once they get popular, people just lose it. You be like, what the f-? These used to be $10.
Yeah. That's how forces are popular. That's how forces got popular. Forces were a shoe that looked good with everything. It was a very plain shoe, but you weren't going to get laughed at. Nobody was going to pick on you. You could rock it, get you a black and a white. Boom. $40, $50. Boom. I got some sneakers. Now they like 60, 70, 80, 90 bucks for some Forces. And they like, my Forces coming back. Like, no, they too, price point too goddamn high. And if I wear the black ones, I look like I'm about to rob the joint.
When did that happen though? When did like the black ones become like the official, hey, if you see some black ones, get to running. Like, hey. It's going and, never, and you know what? Unpopular opinion. I never liked ones. Never.
Why? You can't
run. I had a couple pair, but they just ain't never. They ain't never feel right.
You can't run in them. You can't run in them. They got that really, really hard sole like the Jordan ones, and if you hit that corner, that sharp 90-degree angle, in that corner, your ankle is demolished. It's demolished. I don't understand how Rasheed Wallace balled in these things. How? Oh. How?
He probably wear a size 16.
But his feet are different.
Big ass clown feet.
That's true.
His feet are different than yours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
And also, you know, like
the black K-Swiss.
Yeah. I like anything now. It's just the COVID. I've been wearing sandals. I wear fucking Nike flip flops every fucking day. You, Shante has to be like, babe, put on shoes. I need you to wear shoes. Why? Why I gotta put on real
shoes? Sweatpants and flip flops, man. For what? Exactly. I just told her, I got to buy some shoes. I don't have any shoes to wear outside of work.
It's hoodie season too. Hoodies. Sweatpants, flip flops. This is as good as it gets. I wear the shit to church.
Look, you ain't going nowhere. Ain't nowhere open. So, bruh, I'm going to the grocery store.
Listen, I've been getting clean. Hey, listen, damn that. I'm going to Lowe's cleaner than a bitch. I'm in the, you know, hardware store like you with a light with the LEDs, baby. I got
it. I used to live that life. Now I live a life where I be like, nigga, this is a, is this a milk stain on my shirt?
Oh, I got called out there once like that. Like this shit.
No, let me tell you what he do. He'll throw up on my shirt, and then I won't even realize it's there. And I would go the rest of my day with a milk stain on my shirt. Like, y'all been letting me walk around here?
I ain't gonna fake that. Got
milk on my shoulder all day.
You don't smell it. You don't see it. It's like, oh damn.
Nah.
Once you get in public.
No, I'm like, what is
the same this size go to this size? You're like,
oh. That bitch just didn't grew. You can't stop looking at it. Now he looking like smoking.
You put stuff on your shoulder like this. Hey, what's up?
What y'all got popping in here?
What's happening? What's going on?
Hey.
Anyway. All right. Let me wrap this shit up because my wife, my fucking executive producer, came in here and shut the shit down. She said she wants to go for a walk. We need to go for a family walk.
That's in 2021, man.
We're
doing family
shit. We're doing family. Hey, we want to come in here. Come in and watch this movie as a family. Like he was born. Like we was a family before he got hit.
we're a unit now. We're a family, but now we're a unit. We have multiple moving pieces that need to be on the same page.
Figure it out. Right.
Anyway, man, this has been good, man. We're gonna try to bang out some more episodes. Hopefully, with the new website, we can try to monetize the cut and drive traffic, and try to blow up Shuway a little bit. You know what I mean?
I was gonna say shit. We all, GoPros for everybody, boss.
Yeah,
GoPros for everybody. You got discount code.
I am now running ads on the cut and Black. One mic, and I made $10, 10 whole damn dollars. So, woo! Hey, paying for itself, it pays. This shit pays for itself. This is chess.
Where the money resides?
Anyway, that's the 2021 slogan. Where the money resides? Y'all got anything y'all say to the people before we hit the fuck out of here?
Hey, man, 2020 was crazy. Continue to take care of yourselves in 2021. With your families, with your life, all of that, you know what I'm saying? Everything is precious. Don't take nothing for granted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wash your damn hands.
Yeah.
Right.
That too. That
too. All right, guy, you got anything?
Deuces.
He says he's looking for a PlayStation 5. Y'all, if y'all got one,
don't inbox me because I just thought about it. And that's how I know you personally. I don't want to buy your shit because I ain't giving. I'm gonna be 100 with you. The shit costs $599, man. I want the maxed out version. I can't see myself paying more than $700 for it. I'll give you a little bit extra on the tax.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because it's probably like $650. With tax, I give you 50. I spot you 50 to meet you somewhere to drop it off.
Right.
But past that, y'all lost y'all goddamn mind. I had talking about $1,000, $1,200, $1,300 for this shit. You know, I'll wait the next month. They gonna put out enough eventually.
I bought fucking JJ dancing dolls because we wanted one for my son because he liked Cocoa Melon, and I realized they were impossible to find. So when I found some, I went online and sold them bitches. They bought them for 20 and sold them. Turned around and sold them for 40. I was like, I don't know what kind of life y'all living with this doll worth $40, but I'm not mad at you.
Anyway, the internet is the new hustle. So hey, hustle on.
In my notes, hey, take it back. Hey, if you can get the vaccine, take the goddamn vaccine. Go to your goddamn doctor. Stop playing. Keep washing your hands. And peace.
Peace. Scratch your booty, wipe your eye.